Hello and welcome to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience. There are so many amazing podcasts, radio shows, YouTube shows out there. The fact that you're here, I appreciate you very much. I do also air this as a live premiere every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it's really locking in nice because I've been able to really format my schedule where I make sure I am in that chat. It's a great way to catch up with everyone. Maybe there's a guest and more questions are to be asked, and I get to answer those questions firsthand. Sometimes an interview can inspire more curiosity, and the fact that YouTube allows us to utilize a live premiere feature, it's like we're all watching the video component for the first time together, and we're all in the chat live. There are always those people that come in and don't understand that the video is not live. And I try to express it to them because I try to type to them and tell them, like, look, I'm not typing in the video. But that's here nor there. The internet is a very confusing place, as many of us know. With that said, don't be confused by people direct messaging you. It is not I. I am at The Real Lisa Ann on all platforms. And if you are getting messages, there's a wild one going around right now. Someone saying that they're my assistant and they're trying to reach out to people. But the thing is, when this person has been, because my friends are screen grabbing and sending this to me, when this person refers to me, they refer to me as a he. I'm imagining this is Google Translate. I'm imagining this is another country. I'm imagining there is some confusion, but that's where it really gets tricky. Also, they always use a last name that isn't mine. And in this case, they've even misspelled the last name that isn't my last name. So there's a lot of these out there. Don't fall for it. You are smarter than that. I did say the internet can be a confusing place, but let's do our best to buckle up for safety each time we get on and drive on these wild, wild roads that are the internet. We are here together after an awesome week last week where my co-host, Paul Orshowski, visited the show. I get to see Paul and Brett tomorrow and Thursday, Tuesdays and Thursdays for the next bunch of weeks, due to the fact that we are getting ready. Well, we are actually not just getting ready. We are ready. 10 more episodes coming your way. The new deal with SiriusXM for Better Halves is 20 more episodes. We're going to record them in bundles of 10. I love this whole new concept, right? We produce the content. We get that done in bundles of 10. They release them once a week for 10 weeks, and then they go into replay for 10 weeks. And when we're in replay for those 10 weeks, we go back in studio and we record 10 more. Awesome fun fact, they've added in the joy of the fact that Brett and I will be taking our show live at New York Comedy Festival here in New York City. SiriusXM will be building us some sort of live situation. You'll be the first to know. I'm super excited about this. But so if you're a listener in the car, Better Halves is on Raw Comedy Channel 99. If you use the app, you can just search Better Halves. Really excited about that. Really excited to get back in the studio. And I love this whole getting them done and this just being able to enjoy the release schedule of them. Because nothing in comedy or with dating emails or any of that is time sensitive, it just works out flawlessly. So back in studio to bring you some new episodes. If you haven't yet, you can go and check out the previous episodes. The show's a ton of fun. Been putting clips out on social as well. So Paul was a great guest and I learned a bit about my producer, which was really cool, learning that it was Sam Roberts, who I feel has so much to do with so much that's happened in the past 10, 20 years at SiriusXM. Sam Roberts and Paul connected, and that's how this all worked out. They both share this love for wrestling. It was just a great conversation to bring me even closer to somebody that I have a hella respect for. I mean, he works so hard for us. The clips that he's put together, the things that he pulls together beforehand, the packets of paper we get with news stories and things to review to see which ones we like. He is really one of the best producers I've ever worked with. So to celebrate Paul and have him as the guest, as I called like a career day. Sometimes you learn about gigs and you wonder what they're really all about. Career day it was with my producer. But today, it's got to be us alone. I've got a real thrill-seeking story to share with you. Something went down this past week, exact day Thursday, that I have not yet let out. I'm not shared with anyone. Well, maybe like two people know, but the rest of them, including Kay, is going to find out on this episode. This is something that I was concerned about. This is something I did not want to happen. This is something that happened. So we'll get to that when we get to that day. But first, I'm going to kind of recap. If you remember last week, if you're a listener, I spoke in the monologue about the fact that I was going to see Brett's table read with Dane Cook and Dean Edwards. And this table read was for A Christmas Carol or A Christmas Story 2. And it's a rewrite. And what I didn't know till I got to the show was that this was written by Brett and his mom. And so as soon as I hear this, I look at Lainey. I had a lovely dinner with Lainey before the show and right across the street. We ate, we caught up. I can talk with that woman for hours and not know what we talk about. And then we walked across the street. And so we sit down and I learn that him and his mom wrote this together. Lainey's like, oh yeah, his mom's here. I'm like, what? His mom is here from Kansas City? I'm going to meet Brett's mom. Like, this could not be more wholesome. This could not be more amazing. And Brett's mom is an avid listener of Better Habs. So I wait till the show is over. And as soon as the show is over, the very first thing I have to do, let's just not fast track. The show was amazing. It was my first time ever going to an actual live table read. So there's a table on the stage that seats about, I think there were probably 20 or 25. I'm sorry, I don't know exactly. I should have taken notes from the photo that I took. But 20 to 25 cast members, as well as the director. And the director leads you into all of the scenarios, like, you know, walks in home, closes door behind, notices Christmas music playing. That would be what the director narrates. And everyone else plays their roles. And I have to say, to sit still on a stage and be able to read and have actors that range from ages over their 50s to maybe 8 or 9, 10 years old to one of the young actors who played Tiny Tim, who was fabulous. I think there were so many different characters. So Tiny Tim was a little older, but there was a range of characters. And you sit down to this full script and everyone's going to sit and play their part. And it's amazing what a act of your imagination that actually is. The stillness of not having something fed to you and actually realizing that as people are sitting in front of you reading, even though you're watching them read, you're visualizing this story that they're telling. Of course, you're visualizing them in the roles, but you're visualizing other people that they're talking about, people walking by, people that were at this protest for the big box store. It was hilarious. The room loved it. And for my first time experience, I was like, what a cool thing to just kind of sit back in your chair and absorb. Nobody really, I'm with a mindful crowd. Nobody had their phones out. Nobody was talking. Nobody was texting. Everybody was just engaged. I could see it was supporters of each castmate in this very unique theater on 42nd Street, all celebrating their friend, their family member, whoever it was to them that was part of this table read. And of course, Brett was brilliant as always. And this act, he had to play with a British accent. And he pulled it off at the beginning. I was like, man, I wonder if Brett can hold this thing through for like, there's a lot of pages here. Of course, me at first looked at the pages and was like, okay, this is going to be, this is like a 3-hour sit. We're sitting here for 3 hours. I'm like already at Lainey and David was sitting in the middle of us. So like her husband. But then is when I settled in. I'm like, I can see, oh, this is great. And Brett has to keep this up. I'm like, can he keep up this accent? He did. He kept up the accent perfectly through the entire table read. So really enjoyed the experience. It's like being in something immersive that really stills allow your curiosity and your creativity to visualize the absolute setting, because the setting in front of you is a table of people reading. And they're doing such a great job with all their accents and all their ages and all the range of the story that you're actually seeing your own movie of it. It would be fascinating to know if we could reverse Oculus the world and we could put, you know, goggles on everybody and see how they visualize this story. What did the other people look like? What did the town look like? You know, because we're all seeing our own thing by listening to the narrators, because our perception, how we perceive something to look, feel, the vibe they're throwing off, like, fascinating. It was so cool. So I thank Brett for being involved in so many incredible things. He got me out to see two plays. Now he gets me out to my very first table read. And so as soon as it was over, of course, I look at Lainey and David. I'm like, gotta go meet Brett's mom immediately. Got some photos with Brett's mom. Got to chat with Brett's mom. Brett's mom's like, I'm so sorry. Brett is so wholesome. I'm like, no, that's what makes him so amazing for the show. We absolutely love it. She doesn't like the swearing, but she'll deal with it. Like, we had a lot of these great conversations. We took some pictures together. We laughed. It was so sweet. She flew in. She didn't want to get wrapped up in traffic, so she packed a backpack and she went directly from the airport to the theater to meet with Brett. And then she was going to stay with him for a day and fly back home. And I'm like, oh, so lovely. And always remember something that's a different perspective for me. I never had normalcy in my upbringing with parents. I don't have parents in my life, and I haven't had family in my life since 2015 was really the line in the sand. You can read about it in my book, The Life Back. And so when I see other people's relationships, it makes me so happy for them because I know that it's a luck of the draw. Parents are just people. There's no handbook. Parents in different levels of income. Like, there's so many variables that can change the dynamic of someone's relationships with their parents. But when I see good ones, it just makes me happy. And it's such a cool thing. And to see everyone supporting everybody, it's just lovely. I'm fortunate. I have all of you. I have my friends who support me. This is just a part of my life that I've learned to accept. When I say these things, I know that there's a part of you that are like, I feel bad. Then I know that there's also a part of you that can somewhat relate to relationships that were not fitting. Maybe they were toxic, you know, whatever they may have been that didn't feed your soul the way you needed. That's okay. And it's really important that we are the ones that remind our friends that have great families how lucky they are, and to make sure that they're always good to their parents and make sure they always go out of their way. That's kind of the role we then play. And we nurture all of the people in our lives with a different amount of affection because we have a different level of affection in the tank. So it works out, and it's not an awe factor, but it's real. And we all live different lives. And we all can have empathy for each other, but we also can have some sort of sense of pride. If it's like you're living the life that suits you, you're finding happiness in other people's happiness. And that's really what it was when I got to do a photo with me, Brett, and Brett's mom. And Brett's like, who should be in the middle? I'm like, obviously you should be in the middle, Brett. Like, it was adorable. You could see how proud he was of his accomplishment. So that was Tuesday night. Very, very exciting. Now, Monday I had that big shoot. And the big shoot that was in the studio, going into the studio, you know, when you're doing that many photos, we put it this way. We ended up total with photos that we like with 1500 photos. And now it takes the photographer time to get all those photos out of their camera. What they'll do is they'll make one pass and delete all of the eyes are closed, whatever looks weird, whatever. And then do a color correction where to make sure that all the photos just look the same because I like them raw. I take the JPEGs and I take the raw, but I need the raw for the best adaptation of the white backdrop. So one of the things about shooting on a white backdrop is when you shoot on the backdrop and you're visually looking at it, it's white as fuck. It's so white that you're worried about getting footprints. So you keep slippers by the edge of it and you don't let anyone walk on set with their shoes on. Makeup artist needs to touch up your socks or little bonnets over your feet, whatever. So this is a big thing. But when you actually get the photos in that resolution, it's not white. It's not a pure white. It is a muted white. And what you want is a crisp wipe. They make the best 8x10s because you can sign so much on this side. I look at every old school 8x10 compared to the newer ones. I'm like, we always did white backdrop. White backdrop is also easiest for people who are going to use my photos for promotions, whether I'm going to use a new headshot, like all of these things. So once I would get those photos back, then I send them out. So then I've got to download them, process at my end. I send them out to get the white backdrop done, pure white. And that's an easy step. But why I'm telling you this is because when it was Tuesday and I was excited, I was just decompressing from the shoot, getting caught up from things because I shot on Saturday, but then I shot in the studio on Monday, a lot of things going on. And so I realized, like, I had told Adrian, photographer, hey, I'm marking out 6 hours on Friday for content management. So as long as you have the photos to be up by Friday, that's my schedule a lot of time. That's to do the first run of what I have to do. He's like, no problem. I'll get them to you. So like, I almost get so excited because I get to look at all the behind the scenes that was shot on set on my phone. And I can't wait to see what the photos are going to look like. So I always stay super busy while I'm waiting for content to be delivered, like super busy. Cause otherwise I'll be like, oh, I wish I could be looking at those right now. It's like the old school when you used to have to send your photos to be printed. It took forever. So I was like, I'm going to keep nice and busy for the next couple of days. If you don't know this, every Wednesday I host a Facebook Live at The Real Lisa Ann at 1 p.m. Eastern time. I do it on Wednesdays at 1 because it's an awesome time to really bounce off. Hey, did you listen to the podcast yet? Remind everybody the new podcast is out. Talk about current events, college basketball, March Madness coming up, all of the good stuff. Pop in on different countries. What's the weather there? What time is it there? It's fun. I do at least 20 minutes unless it gets weird. If it gets weird, I step out a little early and you'll sense the mood. But when I do that, I kind of structure a lot of stuff around it on Wednesdays because I know I'm going to be home for that 1 p.m. So in the morning, I'll take a bunch of meetings. I'll do that 1 p.m. And then that afternoon, I was like, this is the day after all of the shooting while I'm waiting for my photos. This is the day I do my 1 hour in the hyperbaric chamber and then follow that up by cryo. Not just going in for cryo for 3 minutes on a Wednesday. That Wednesday, I was like, no, I'm definitely going to do the hyperbaric. If you want to yourself research, you'll start to hear more about it. I'm starting to even read more about it when it comes to the anti-aging side of it. A lot of anti-aging side of talking about hyperbaric. Also the research of the biohacking of how it can actually reduce what your actual, this is what is said, reduce what your actual age is. I am doing it for the overall benefit of breathing in pure oxygen for 1 hour in a tank. Now you can take, you're laying down, people take their phone in, so I hear. Some people wear earbuds. I use it to meditate. I use it to really forward think my week ahead. I also use it to go through little accolades to myself of tasks that I accomplished. Maybe they were tedious. I don't like them. But I take that time to kind of go back and forth between past and present. So I find when I get out of there, and then I'll do a little walk home, get some fresh air before I get back to work. I find that I feel very level and clear-headed, and that night is always a really early night to bed. So I doubled up. I even sauna'd again that night. This is all wellness stuff. It seems very time-consuming, but it's part of what I'm doing to feel my best, to not get sick, to look my best, because let's face it, there is a part of my income that still comes in off of my looks, hosting events, all of these things. So one of the other things I really had something come up in December that led me to another great thing about hyperbaric is the calorie effect, right? So when you do some research, you'll see some people use them for anxiety. There's so many different purposes that are positive that come out of this hour. And more than anything, being down for an hour and just working on your breathing and hearing yourself think and having conversations. Like I try to not get into stuff that's stressing me. I get into the little things that I want to touch in on the week ahead, what my goals are, but not things that are stressing me, but really looking back and going through the things that I had just accomplished. I look back on how proud I was of how things went on Monday. We had such a great shoot. And it was funny because Adrian left his charger behind and the manager of the studios reached out to let us know. And I said, hey, it's not too far from me. I'll walk down later this week. And when I walked down, I went to pick it up and I got to see all the other studios that I might like that were not available that day for me to rent. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad this worked out for me to come back down because now I found a corner unit I like even more than the corner unit we use. So like these little things are the things that I will think about when I'm in the chamber. Checking in with ourselves is so important. Keeps us accountable, keeps us balanced. And I think for me, it keeps me from having chaotic thoughts where I'm busy and I'm distracted. That's to me what I consider chaotic thoughts. I want to kind of organize that as much as I can. Like you organize your closet. You know, I just want to organize my thoughts and be able to move forward. So there's Wednesday. I get back. I do my standard stuff, get a great night's sleep. And then Thursday, I was super excited because I was taking Joanna Angel to her very first NBA game. And I also was going to teach Joanna a little NBA. So I said, hey, let's meet at a spot, like a restaurant. I found us a spot close. We'll have a small bite to eat just so we have a center place. It's so hard to meet up at MSG, even right now, as much with the construction. If you tell someone to meet you at a corner, you don't know if that corner is going to be barricaded off because they've moved the construction. It's just easier to meet down the block and then go together from there. So I'm super excited. Again, go to the game with Joanna. But I had to tell Joanna, hey, there is a possibility that we have a situation at MSG. I want to prepare you for this. Please do not tweet that we're going. We'll do all of that past tense, which I have to do moving forward no matter what anyway. But there is a possibility due to what took place at Radio City Music Hall that I would be on a facial recognition list at Madison Square Garden. Ideally, that's not the possibility that I wanted to rock with, but due to this recent amount of fluttering chaos, I have to assume all variables. So when Joanna and I met up, we sat down to have a little bite to eat, ordered a cocktail. I ordered a mocktail because I was like, I need to be 100% present. And I was coming off a fast of 24 hours. So I was like, there's no way I can have a cocktail. I haven't eaten in 24 hours. When you're fasting, you really have to be more mindful of your alcohol intake. So I was like, I'm just going to do a mocktail because again, in my mind, I'm thinking, I surely don't know what we're going to roll up on, but we will soon see. So sit down, have a great little light bite. Joanna has her cocktail. I have my mocktail and we roll out. Get to MSG. It's very exciting. I'm talking to Joanna on the way there. Joanna did not know that I played basketball all through school, how much I love basketball, why I love basketball, teams that I like, players that I like, fantasy basketball, all of these things. So I'm going through, I'm overwhelming Joanna with data. We get to MSG. We go through security. We walk about 10 steps and boom, someone is in my face. And that someone in my face was so kindly in my face saying, ma'am, I need your ID and I need to see your tickets. Right away, I know exactly what's taking place. Before I even look down to grab out my wallet to get my ID, I see out of my peripheral vision, a circle starting to move in a bit of Madison Square Garden security. So now I know I have landed on the facial recognition list, and this is actually a real thing, okay? Now, Kaz, the gentleman that helped me, was very nice. Everyone stood a distance. Nobody touched us. I asked Joanna, just be chill. I gave him my ID. The tickets were on my phone. I explained, hey, I am aware there's a situation. Let's talk about it. Okay, well, we have you. There was an issue at Radio City where you were on your phone during a comedy show. I said to him, sir, I have photo proof that I was not on my phone during that show. And more so, one situation cannot tarnish my entire reputation. I have come into this arena and cherished this arena as well as I cherish Radio City Music Hall. As a matter of fact, I said, my friend Joanna had never been to the Rockettes. I made sure I took her this year, and she also has never been to an NBA game, and that's why I am taking her tonight. And he was just fit to be tied because I could tell he wanted to just escort me out, and I could tell they were all prepared to escort me out, but they just couldn't do it. They could not do it. He was like, here's what I need you to do. I'm going to give you this card, which was, this is what I needed to happen, by the way, people. I'm going to give you this card, email them, explain your situation. We will have people watching you tonight. Please follow all of the rules and enjoy the game. Gave me my ID back. I put it away in my purse and Joanna and I proceeded to walk towards the steps. At that point, I have to look at Joanna and ask, are you okay? First thing you do weirdly when your shit is creeping in on your shit, but then there's other people and it becomes their shit. You immediately go into this triggered like, hey, are you okay? Do you still want to go to the game? Are you feeling comfortable? Let's talk about it. Joanna was beside herself. Joanna did give me credit by saying, hey, I don't know if I could have been that calm. I don't know if I could have been that nice. I don't know how I would have responded. I said, that's why I did the mocktail. That's why I'm prepared for these things. And that's why I'm going to be ready at all times. Game on. Now the email has been taken care of. Now I'm working on resolution. I will go in person for a meeting. I will apologize profusely for the situation. Because I want to go to Radio City Music Hall and I want to go to Madison Square Garden without any drama. I do not want to have every guest I take need to deal with that uncomfortable awkwardness. Now, luckily, my friend Anthony, who I adore, came up to our seats to bring us two t-shirts that would have been shot out of the t-shirt gun. And I gave mine to Joanna so Joanna could give it to small hands, Aaron. And we had a great time at the game. I did tell Joanna, and once we sat down, we ordered, they have these tiny cans of wine. So I did have a tiny can of wine, everybody, because all of my friends are so worried that I'm going to be so anxious. I did have a tiny can of wine, but I did tell Joanna one thing. There is one thing that I always do at an NBA game. And I can't even tell you why. I don't know why this is my thing, because it's not good. I eat cotton candy and I fucking love it. I love cotton candy. And there is no reasonable reason to ever eat it. It keeps me up. These games don't start till 7:30 p.m. And for those of you who know me and not new listeners, I prefer to be completely ready for bed by 9 p.m. So when I eat some cotton candy at 8:30, I am going to be up. You know what I mean? There's no doubt I am going to be up. That's just how it is. But it's one of the silly things that I've done for years is, and most people will take a little bit and be like, I don't know how you eat this. It's one of the things. Here's someone who eats no sugar, goes to hyperbaric chamber, works out, which we're going to get to. We're going to get to a post that I put out because I gave a teaser for this, who does all these great things. But the devil in me just loves to just pick at cotton candy when I'm sitting in an NBA game. And anybody who knows me knows that I always have individually wrapped hand wipes with me. I always have individually wrapped hand wipes with me. Always. I never not have them. And anyone, my friends listening right now, you're laughing because even Joanna and I yesterday were out and we sat down for lunch and I whipped out the two. Which do you want? Do you want lavender or do you want lemon? You know, and she looked at me and she's like, I'm so glad you always have these. Always. But one of the reasons why I used to carry them with me to games was because of cotton candy. It's sticky. You don't want to touch it with dirty hands. And then after you eat it, it's all over you. I came home with cotton candy, but somehow it was coming out of my hair. Okay. It was not ideal, but cotton candy is my thing. So I told Joanna, hey, listen, just to save any drama, let's leave the game a couple of minutes early. It's not ideal. I want to watch the game, but I also don't want to be stuck in the stairs going down because when I was being talked with at the entryway at Madison Square Garden, there were a couple fans walking by going, hey, Lisa Ann, what's up? Hey, Lisa. And I'm like, you know what? I just can't talk right now, guys. I just can't. This can't talk right now. Like it was another one of those hella awkward moments. So I didn't want to be facing those people out there. I didn't want to be answering any questions. And I just thought to be mindful and to keep things as clean as possible for the kind people who let us see that game on Thursday night. Golden State Warriors did win. Knicks not looking as hot as they were, but the Warriors are looking hotter than they have all season. So we'll get to that, right? But so, yes, I am on the facial recognition list, which is not just here in New York. It's also the Sphere in Vegas. This is now being rectified. But the night before when I was talking to Lainey about going to the game, I had said, Lainey, there's a possibility this could happen. And if it does, I just need to break the seal and I need to go in and I need to get my bearings about it, get a contact, and also be able to rectify this situation. Because for the person that has this simp that works at Radio City that did this to me, because it's now been confirmed this was all a setup. So on that end of it, we don't know if that person gets to keep their job or not, but I'm not as much worried about them as I'm worried about myself right now. Once I sort out my shit, you better believe that person will be absolutely next. So that was Thursday night. I get home a little bit wired and the photos are in early. And I'm like, oh, this is just perfect. At least I can download them and label. That's all I wanted to do, because in different outfits, I will label the photos and separate them into batches. And then that makes it easier to sort the ones, because I'm not going to send them all to have the white backdrop done at $6 a photo. No, I'm going to pick out 10 per set that I really like and do it that way. Otherwise, it's thousands of dollars at one time. And I mark them so I know which ones I already did in case I want to go back and get some freshies. I can go into the batches. And it's a process, because just downloading them and labeling them is just, for me, the first step. So I was like, I'll do that tonight. And then tomorrow I'll be able to make a plan for what we have here. I made the plan on Friday, which is I have 20 hours of photo management to do. That's what I approximated it was going to take me. And so I was like, how are we going to divide this up? Okay, we'll do 4 hours on Friday. We'll do 8 hours on Saturday. And then Joanna and Aaron just got a bigger apartment, and Joanna needed some leads on some furniture. So I was like, come here. Let's go to the Upper East Side. We'll go walk around. There's Raymore Flanagan's, there's West Elm, there's Pottery Barn. I will help you make decisions. We will spend Sunday afternoon together, because Aaron is out west shooting. And when he leaves, I make sure my custody time is real. I want to make sure that Joanna has activities and is doing things that Joanna really wants to do and getting out and all of that. So Joanna and I met up on Sunday yesterday. We found the perfect setup. So it's the pop-up coffee table that we all love. I have one. So you can sit at your couch and just eat in front of the television or use your computer, whatever you want it for. But that pop-up coffee table things are there. So that was the goal. It was to find one of those. And once we found one of those, we could build everything around it, which we did. Once we did that, we went for a walk. Then we went to have lunch at the Tavern in the Green. Then Joanna wanted to buy her new place, a housewarming gift at Bergdorf's. We just had an absolutely fabulous day. But before I went out, I posted something over the weekend that I have just lost 20 pounds and that I was going to tell you all the why. And I put the protocol for it, which was for 6 weeks, I worked out twice a day, 5 days a week. On the other 2 days, I still worked out. So I worked out 7 days a week, but 5 days of it was twice a day. So I would do my heavy workout in the morning. Then in the afternoon, I would either do a yoga class, an abs class, I'd swim laps, whatever, like just something active for 45 minutes to an hour. I upped my fasting, which now I'm back to normal, but I upped my fasting to only eating in a 6 hour window. So I was eating from noon to six was my window to eat. Sometimes it would get moved around, and if it did, you adjust it, but you know that you're eating in a 6 hour span. Now I'm kind of back up to an 8 hour span where I can stretch it out a little bit more if I want to. But I had this goal, and I'm going to tell you why. Don't you worry. And from the fasting, so that's every day, and then 1 day a week, a full 24 hour fast. Now, I went to get a physical in December, and when I got on the scale, which I do not own a scale at home, I use my clothes as a scale. And I get on the scale, and my doctor's just, you know, she reads out my weight, and it was 17 pounds higher than last year. And I looked at her and I said, what was my weight last? 17 pounds. How's this happening? And she's like, well, do you have a scale? I'm like, I don't. She's like, well, this happens a lot in winter. We're wearing baggier clothes. She goes, look at your jeans. As a matter of fact, baggy jeans came in style. I've been wearing all these big baggy bell-bottom jeans. I'm not even thinking about it, right? And I'm, what? I said to her, you know, when I go home, I'm going to put on a pair of my skinny jeans. I'm going to see what happens, because I haven't put on a pair of skinny jeans in a while. So we go through this back and forth. She's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, I am worried about it. When I was a young girl, my grandmother told me, her advice was, and she stuck to this advice till she was 83 years old, to stay within 20 pounds of the weight that you were when you graduated high school. To her, that was to fight disease, have optimal health, good balance, be able to be active. You know, she didn't believe in putting on 5 pounds a year, 10 pounds. No, if she saw her weight pick up, she'd cut back. And she'd always get herself right back to where she wanted. She never had to buy bigger clothes, never had to change anything, never went on an extreme diet, just always kept it within 5 pounds. So 17 pounds was like, huge. And I said to my doctor, like, I'm devastated because that's not what I want. And it makes a lot of sense why things have not been fitting as well, like my bras, little things. And I said, I'm going to devise a plan. And before I devise a plan, I'm going to sit down with myself and figure out how this happened. 17 pounds to me is a lot. I'm only 5'2". So, and I was feeling it, but I was also wearing baggier pants. It's winter. You're wearing sweaters. You're wearing big coats. You know, everything is bulky. So as I'm walking back from the doctor, I'm walking and I think, so what has changed? Because we have to ask ourselves these questions. Otherwise, this is going to be a vicious cycle. And I have to ask myself what changed. So I figured, okay, football season, every Thursday night, I was at Sapphire and they were bringing me out so much good food every Thursday night. And it was a routine every Thursday night. So, okay, there might have been one. There's one, okay, because I was enjoying all of it and not thinking anything of it. Then I added on the sucker punch, had these awesome tater tots and other things that I ate for a month every Sunday or 6 weeks every Sunday. I thought about the wine coming into my life and the calories and me making sure that I'm limiting the calories from wine. I thought about holidays, probably holidays from Thanksgiving to Christmas, maybe accounted for 5 pounds of that. Because yes, I was eating bread. I was doing all the things you do around the holidays, but like, I don't mind losing 5 pounds. Remember, this doctor's appointment was in December. It was before Christmas, but I know Thanksgiving like kind of started. And so I sat down and thought about all of the places where I had added in things that were out of my norm. And I was like, okay, be more mindful moving forward. Okay. And then I thought about the routine that I could establish because I was going to be home the rest of all of December, all of January, most of February, other than my ski trip. So I could get really into a good routine, making all of my own food again, sticking to this fast. And I wanted to see what I could do in 6 weeks. I just wanted to push myself. I feel like everywhere we go right now, there's an ad for Ozempic. And I'm not shaming anybody that decides to do anything for themselves. But like, it's so easy to fall into, would that be the easier way to do something? And like, I like to work out. I like to set these targets. I actually wrote this in a journal this time. And every day I was accountable. I'd get home from the gym. I'd write exactly what I did. You know, I made it like really a thing for me to follow. And then I did use the scale at the gym. And so I've been weighing in, weighing in, weighing in. And then yesterday when I was out with Joanna, I put on the skinny jeans that did not fit me in December. At all. I couldn't get them up my thighs. Okay. It happens that fast. So I think like a yearly physical is such a great check-in with just something as small as that. And I really couldn't put it out to the universe. I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted this to be my own personal challenge. And when I reached that goal, which my goal was 20, because I figured it'll adjust a bit, right? I don't mind going back down. That 17 pounds, not a big deal. I didn't need to lose 20, but this gives me a little bit more flexibility. And also it gave me an even number to just really focus on and stick with. And now that I'm going to open up my eating range, and now I won't be working out 2 times a day, 5 days a week, but I will do that 3 times a week. I'm going to stick on a good program, but it just reminded me that if we want to do something, all we really need to do is write it down. Write it down and look at it. Make yourself be accountable. Stick to it and do it. Make yourself notes. If you don't do it one day, add another day to it. But like, you are that person. And so I was that person for myself. I really stood up for myself. I really was present. I really made myself push. And so it did. I did do extra cryotherapy, extra hyperbaric during that time because my body was just forever sore, but it was worth it. I did an awesome Peloton class this morning. I'm keeping that mojo going, but it's amazing how quickly we can put on that weight. And it's also amazing that we don't have to go for the quickest way to do it. We can do it a little bit long term. We can work on it on our own. And it felt really good to accomplish that mission at my age and know that my body can still be resilient enough to bounce back like that. Very, very, very happy. So that's what that post was about on my IG at The Real Lisa Ann. And for all of you, I was thinking about a little something new with the mailbag. So I get a lot of great emails after I do these solo episodes. So I want to have great guests and then weave in my solo episodes. But is there something that you've wanted to email as a mailbag question, but you know that the response is kind of too big or too grand or too long, that would be something you can email me in the subject matter podcast idea. Whether you are looking for a recap on my fitness regimen, whether you are looking for books that I'm suggesting for something or tools that I've used for something that I'm doing, whatever it may be, you can send it to asklisaann@gmail.com. And still, if you have a simple question, favorite music to work out to, favorite food, those things can also go right there. asklisaann@gmail.com. It's time for the mailbag. Let's get to it. Oh, before I get to the actual mailbag, I did want to say the 20 hours of working on the photos was made much easier by college basketball. Anybody watching, I know Jeff, if you're listening right now, you may have been watching. That Memphis game was nuts, okay? Coach gets a technical, gets thrown out for the other UAB. Like, it was so nuts. I was trying to work and looking up at the TV. But it kept me going. March Mayhem is here. March 22nd, I will be at Sapphire in Las Vegas. I watch games all day with everybody. I watch at night. That night we come back, we party. But I am going to be doing something very special. I'm going to do a one-on-one session with someone where we share a bracket. Like, I help you build your bracket. We do this together. More information will be coming out about that. I didn't want to forget to tell you that. Now it's time, the moment you've been waiting for, the mailbag. Let's go. Our first mailbag right here. Subject matter is salute. Hi, Lisa. My name is Christian, and I'm from Caracas, Venezuela. You're a beautiful woman. Thank you, Christian. One, any new book? Well, Christian, did you already read The Life, my first book released in 2015, or The Life Back, my second book released in 2021? You can get them both on Amazon or my store, personally autographed from me at shoplisaann.com. I am working on the notes for my third book and will let you all know ASAP. This one's going to be a little bit different because I am actually going to switch my format a bit. That's all I'm going to give out, but I am. Third book is in the works. I appreciate all the support on my writing. Also says, any travel to South America in the near future? I could be your translator, smiley face. Well, that was pretty smooth there, Christian. I see what you're doing. No plans to go to South America in the near future. I really like your podcast. It helps me with my English. I love that. I'm currently doing an hour a day of Italian lessons, so I am going to eventually start listening to more things in Italian as I realize that is a way to start picking up, putting it all together. So your motivation, Christian, keeps me motivated for my Italian list that I have to do later on tonight. So thank you. Question here is, subject matter, wine. All joking aside about how's the proper way to load a dishwasher, LOL, where can I find your wine? I'd love to add it to my cellar. So there was a great debate brought on this week on X by my friend Joe Madden Sports, who I've had here on my podcast. And Joe said, what is the proper way to load the dishwasher with silverware? I cannot believe how many people think fork being up is the way to go. You can easily stab yourself with a fork. I've had many friends who have had incidents where they're like not looking and they go to unload the dishwasher and stab themselves. So I was like on like everything is facing down, even though I'm the only one here. I'm the only one loading the dishwasher. I'm the only one unloaded. I am not taking any chances. I put anything sharp facing down. But this was a huge debate, and I was very surprised how many people think they don't get clean if they're down. They need to be up for that reason. Is that so? Made me think about when I worked at restaurants and realized, oh, they always did stack them in up. But I'm a safety first kind of gal, so I'm going to stick with forks down. Okay. But when it comes to my wine, the one place you can buy it right now is from Williamsburg Wine and Liquor. You can find the tag on Lisa by Lisa Ann on Instagram. That's the Instagram for my wine. When you find that tag, click on there, reach out to the store, and they'll be able to help you. That is the one store selling it. Other than that, you've got to feel my essence at one of my absolute favorite places in New York City, as it is sprinkled around the city with love. So check out all the spots. They are also listed on the IG, Lisa by Lisa Ann. Last question here, and it ties in with how I opened this, which is funny. I should have remembered this was here. March Madness is the subject. Hey, Lisa Ann, any chance you'll be visiting Vegas for March Madness? My wife and I are huge fans, and we'd find it amazing to see you in an in-person appearance. Have a great day, Jack and Jessica. I love that your names are Jack and Jessica, by the way. I mean, that your initials are the same. Super, super cute. J and J. I will be in Vegas. I will be at Sapphire for the 22nd. So Sapphire Las Vegas, I'll be there during the day watching games. I'll be back at night. They have great food. They have everything. We'll have a great time. And if you are coming as a couple, I will put you both on my guest list. So just email me after you listen to this podcast and I will add you to my guest list to make sure that I get to say hello to you and we can take some really fun photos. They have a step and repeat out front with a bunch of like blow up basketballs. We can do some cool reels, some boomerangs. We will make it super fun for Jack and Jessica, which I appreciate the email. To all of you, a little reminder, all of my social media is the same at The Real Lisa Ann. New episode of Better Haves will be out this Friday, March 8th. So if you're listening on your SiriusXM Play in your car, that's Raw Comedy, Channel 99. If you're listening on the app, it drops late night Thursday, just like my podcast drops late night Tuesday, but everybody thinks it drops Wednesday. So you'll have more access to it. So what you can do is set Better Haves as your favorite on the brand new SiriusXM app, and you'll get an alert as soon as that new episode is there for you. So excited to be back on the airwaves every Friday at I think it's 5 p.m. Eastern time is the first time that it airs on Raw Comedy Channel 99, but I will be back on the airwaves at SiriusXM. The next 10 weeks with Better Halves, could not be more excited. New photos and cool stuff coming soon. This is going to really help freshen up the timelines. I'm looking for rebrand the podcast. Like once the photos come back with the white, then the next process of it starts. What are we using for what? What do I want to do with this? But I love this whole part of this process. It's something that I'm very familiar with, ties into something I'd love to create. I love to stylize the shoots. I love the hair and makeup aspect of it, the fun shoes. I actually borrowed the basketball from my building and took it back. Like just the whole little thing of it. You remember everything as you're looking through the photos. And as you're doing that, you just feel it. You can also get my books at my store, shoplisaann.com, and I will be at all four Exoticas this year. We've got Exotica Chicago coming up in April. We've got Exotica Miami in July, which is a really bad time to have it there because it's really hot out. Then in October, we go Edison, New Jersey. And then in December, we go to DC, actually Virginia. I love doing those shows, getting to catch up with all of my people, and I love catching up with all of you here. Thanks for listening. If you're a new listener, subscribe, rate, and review. It helps a podcast so much. And if you want to catch up, you can catch up by listening, or you can go to my YouTube channel, The Real Lisa Ann, and you can catch up there. Thank you for listening to an all-new episode of The Lisa Ann Experience.